Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's great to see you all this morning. It's really good, isn't it, to be here, to be able to be here again. It just seems like 5 minutes since I was last here. Oh, it actually was for me. But it is, isn't it? It's great to be able to come together as a fellowship and just rejoice in what God has done for us. And this morning, we're just going to start this morning by just looking at that little thing from Psalm chapter 40, and you've probably already read it. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. And the question for you this morning is, has God given you a new song to sing? And if not, then this morning we have an opportunity to say, God, give me something new. Give me a new song to sing. And we're going to just stand together now and just worship God for 10 or 15 minutes. We're going to sing two or three songs. Feel free just to say thank you to God for the things he's done through these worship songs as we just come collectively together and just worship God for who he is and what he has done for us. So let's stand and we're going to sing our first song, King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, Living in Me.
King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend,
Jesus, you are my deliverer, my provider, and my ever-present help. I come to you, resting boldly in your presence, believing that your grace is sufficient for my situation today. I ask that you will free me from my bondages and attacks of the enemy, and that you give me strength and courage to follow you into freedom today and every day. I commit my life to your plans, and I pray that your kingdom come and your will be done on this earth and in my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Father, you are here, touching every heart. You're here, healing every heart. You are here, turning lives around. You are the God that mends broken hearts. Lord, give us a new song to sing this morning. It's good to know, isn't it, that God never stops working. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, wherever we are in the world, God is still the same God. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? When I grow up, I want to be. What did you want to be when you grew up? As a young person, or as a very young person, I wanted to be an astronaut. Am I ever going to achieve that dream? No chance. I wanted to be an astronaut. What did you want to be when you grew up? You wanted to work in Woolworths. Did you achieve that dream? No? Did anybody actually achieve the dream? Brilliant. It's good, isn't it, when we know from an early age what we want to do. And we follow our dreams through. And this morning, I want to just do a few bits and pieces and get a few of you a bit messy. So if you youngsters want to come up here to the table, that'd be great. Grace? Neve? I want to talk about... Come on, Grace. You can do this. Right. Go and stand by the table. We're going to do something a bit different this morning. Right, I want you to grab a pot. Have we got a pot? Brilliant. Now, I want you to imagine that this pot is the Earth. Okay? The planet that we are living on. All right? Now, if you look in this pot, what do you find? Holes? Is there anything in it? It is empty. Okay? And if you remember way back in the Bible, in Genesis, when God created the earth, it started off pretty much empty, didn't it? There was nothing in it. God created everything, didn't he? In the earth. And this morning, what we're going to do, we're going to create ourselves a mini world. Would that be great? Would you like to do that? Okay, so you've got your planet here, your Earth, okay? Now we need to put something in it, don't we? Now what are we going to put in our world? What do you think it should be full of? What do you reckon? Adults, you can play too? Right, land and water, yeah, I agree. So what are you going to do? You're going to dig into that compost. Both of you. You can use your hands if you really want to. Or there's a glove there and there's a spade. And I want you to fill up your pot to about just below there with compost. Can you do that for me? Okay, go for it. Yeah, I thought some people might just put their hands in. Yeah, go for it. If you don't want to get your hands dirty, don't worry. Never mind. Oh, we got wipes. That's good stuff. So fill it up to about 3/4 full. And God, when he created the world, he filled it, didn't he? He made land, he made sea, he split day from night, he filled it with fish in the sea, birds in the air, and all the animals that we see around us. He populated the earth with all good things. So how are we doing? We packed it down. That's about enough, Nee. That's good. Yep, brilliant. I like it. Keep going, Grace. Okay, so we've got all this stuff that is around us that we can see. Buildings and trees and sheep and animals and fish and all sorts of wonderful things, haven't we, that surround us. But what else do we need? Because God created something else, didn't he? After he created all these animals and all this wonderful place and he looked at it and said, this is the end of day number 4 or 5, and he said, I'm really pleased with everything I've made, but there's still something missing. Now, what did he make last? Do you remember? No, long time after water. What did he make last? Chris is getting, yes, he did. I'm not quite sure you're saying Chris is quite that old, but there we go. That's another story. But yes, what do we reckon? Well, God made you and he made me, didn't he? He made Adam and Eve, the first people to walk on the planet. And I've got one of these. What is this? It's a seed. It's actually a sunflower seed. Now, before you horticulturists get at me this morning, I know that today is not a good day for planting sunflower seeds. I know they're supposed to be planted in March, all right? Just before someone comes up to me afterwards and says, that's never ever going to grow, you know. Okay, all right. I beg to differ. It might. We don't know. So I've got two lots of seeds here, guys, okay? Now, this seed represents you and it represents me, okay? Because God made us, didn't he? And he put us in the world, didn't he, to look after it. Yeah? So I've got two lots of seeds here. I've got sunflower seeds, so I want you to take one of those out, each, just one sunflower seed. Okay? You can tip them out. Tip them out. And I want you to hold your seed and look at it for a minute. It's pretty hard, isn't it, if you look at it? It's not doing much, is it, this seed? Have you got one? Now what I want you to do, I want you to take your seed, I want you to stick it into the earth. So you can't see it anymore. Bury it in there and cover it up with some compost, right? Have you buried it? Is it gone? Okay. So you and me now have been created and we've been put in this world, haven't we? With all the stuff that's around us. Alright? Now, I've got some more seeds here because the Bible talks a lot about these seeds. Does anyone know what type of seeds these are, Niamh? Do you know what this could be? I'm going to show you some, right? They're really, really small. Have you got any idea what they are?
Cress?
Nearly. No, they're not cress. They grow just like cress, though, but it's not cress. Cress, you got any idea what that is? Anybody reckon they know, and I bet some of you would have known this without even seeing these seeds. Jesus talks about these quite a bit in the Bible. Mustard seeds. And they're really small, aren't they? And I've got some mustard seeds here. So these don't grow in the same way that sunflower seeds do. So what I want you to do, I want you just to take some of these seeds. I just want you to tip them on top of your compost, right? Don't bury these, because otherwise they won't grow. All right, so tip them. Just tip a few on. That's it. You can tip on as many as you like. Try not to use... Yeah. Well done. Oh, well done. Grace, have some seeds. That's it. Tip them on, Grace. Brilliant. Okay, lovely. I've got a couple still here. Great. Okay, so. You and me now have been placed in the earth by God to do some great stuff, haven't we? But it doesn't end there, does it? Now, are your seeds doing anything yet? Why not? Are they doing anything? Can you see the sunflower growing yet? No? Well, hang on a second. You've planted it. You've put it in there. Why can't you see? Why is it not growing? It needs something else, doesn't it? You're right, it does. It needs watering. It needs looking after. It needs tending and being cared for. And that's what God does, you know. He looks after us and tends for us and takes care of us, doesn't he? So we need to give our seeds a little bit of water, don't we? Now, can I do this bit? Otherwise, I know what's going to happen if I give you this can. We all know what's going to happen if we give them this can, don't we? Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to water your seeds. Are you ready? Here we go. Okay, enough water, do you think? Do you want a bit more?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's the right answer, actually, Niamh, because if this water was God watering us, you'd want as much of this as you could possibly get, wouldn't you? I agree. We need lots of God, don't we, in our lives? So, Grace, let me water yours as well. Right, there we go. Right, so... we've got a good splattering of God in there now, because that's really important, isn't it? That God has put us on this earth, put us in this earth, and he looks after us and takes care of us. Are your seeds growing yet? What do you mean, no? Sunflower's not coming up yet? Mustard not growing yet? Okay, so why not, Neve? What's the problem now? It takes time. Okay, so when we've got God in our lives, it takes time, doesn't it? We need to be nurtured and grown slowly. And we need God in our lives every day. We need God to water us every day. And it's really important that we allow God into our lives every single day. And that's the way we grow. All right? So just because you can't see your seeds growing there, I'm going to show you one growing on the screen, all right? And you can see what hopefully is going to happen to them over the next few days and weeks. Are you ready? That's not what I expected, to be fair. Okay, so I'm going to have to try something else here for a second. Just bear with me a second. Oh, okay, right. Okay, good stuff. Should we start again? I know you can't see it properly, but let's go from... Oh, let's go back a slide. Right, okay, watch. So this is what hopefully is going to happen to your seed. As you look after it, and it gets watered, and it keeps in the warm, and you allow God to work in your lives, because that's what we're talking about, isn't it? It begins to grow. And it grows underneath the compost, it grows up, and it grows down, doesn't it? And that's really important, isn't it, for a seed? Because if it just grew up, it would fall over, wouldn't it? So it's important that it puts down roots. And that's really important for seeds, something to remember. You can see the seeds, the roots going down there, look. Because it keeps it on a stable foundation. And that's what God does in our lives. He keeps us stable. And the more we allow to be watered and to be looked after by God, the stronger and the bigger we will become. Until we flourish and we become whatever it is that God wants us to be. Maybe the thing that you want to be when you get older. So that was good, wasn't it? And the Bible talks a lot about us being good fruit. Because trees, when they grow, they produce fruit, don't they? And there's a verse in the Bible that says this. A tree is identified by its fruit. If the tree is good, its fruit will be good. But if a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. Now, what type of fruit do we want to be? Do we want to be bad fruit? Or do we want to be good fruit? Good fruit. That's what we want to turn into, isn't it? Good fruit. And the way we ensure we do that is to allow God into our lives to keep watering us and to keep letting us grow. So it's important that we pray and that we read our Bibles and we do all these things to allow God into our lives every day. So if you guys want to go and sit down, we'll leave your seeds there and you can come and collect them at the end. Hopefully you can take them home and then let me know if they've actually grown into anything at all. I hope they do. Good, isn't it, to know that no matter what we want to be, what we think we're going to do when we get older, that God has a plan. He has a plan for your life, and he has a plan for my life. And it's great to know that when we grow up, we can be what God wants us to be. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the wonder of nature. Thank you as we look around and we see all the things that you have made, that we can marvel at them. We can look at trees and we can look at flowers and see how beautiful you have created them. And we can look at each other and say exactly the same thing. How beautiful you have created us. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to continually be allowed to be watered by you every day, that we will spend time with you, allowing you to make us and turn us into the person that you want us to be. And as we look around the world and we still see some awful things going on in places like Pakistan and Ukraine and some of the African countries that have got famine, Lord, I pray you will just move in amongst the people that are in those places, that are going through severe hardship. There's many Christians around the world that aren't in a comfortable place this morning. Some Christians can't even go to church and worship you openly. Father, I pray you will just be with them this morning. Allow your Holy Spirit to move amongst Christians all over the world. And we continue to pray for our country here, for our government and those that rule over us. Be with them. Guide them as they try to lead us in what they think is the right course for our country. I pray you will be in charge. Bless all those of our fellowship that are not here this morning, for whatever reason that might be, whether they're unwell or they're away. Just be with them where they are. Lord, give us a great time as we continue to worship you. Amen. Before Brian comes, let's just say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. Lord of all being, throned afar, thy glory flames from sun and star, centre and soul of every sphere, yet to each loving heart, how near. Let's stand and let's sing this wonderful hymn together. seated. Our Bible reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, just three small verses. The parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. And they go like this from Matthew 13, 31. Here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in three measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Lord, I just pray that as we look at these two parables, you will give us something new to take away this morning. Parables that are really familiar to us, that we've read probably lots. Just give us something this morning, afresh and anew, that we can take into the days and the weeks ahead. Amen. Well, I've titled this morning, Big Blessings from Small Beginnings. And we're continuing our series looking at some of the parables that Jesus told to anyone really that would listen. And it follows on, if you remember, from the parable that we looked at last week. And I make no apology this morning for continuing the theme of seeds. And both the parables have an element of starting small, followed by a period of waiting, and ending with something that's far bigger than anything imagined when the process was first started. But the first thing I want you to notice is how Jesus begins these two parables and many of the others that are in this chapter. He says the kingdom of heaven is like, referring to the kingdom which is of divine origin or nature. This is how God does it. This is his thinking. These are his values. And the word is like, not might be like or could be like, but is like is important. It speaks of fact and not fiction. Heavenly principles that we can apply knowing the result. So let's start with this parable of mustard seeds. What can we take away this morning from this little parable, just two verses? From the littlest thing comes something big. It starts small. And this is something well worth remembering. It's all too easy, isn't it, to run off in a direction, trying to attain some massive master plan because it looks good, only to find it all falls apart because you tried to run before you could walk. Apple computers were started by two college dropouts. Google began life in a garage. Microsoft was one man with a single idea in the right place at the right time. Three of the biggest companies in the world. But who would have thought that from their beginnings? Building God's kingdom is no different. It can start from a little seed planted in your heart and mine. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. God has a plan, and that is what we need to hold on to this morning. He has a plan for your life, and he has a plan for mine. For your future, and for my future. For this church, and the church down the road. Do you know what that plan is for your life? And it's okay to say no at this point. Because that's my answer, if I'm going to be honest. Knowing he has a plan, and knowing what that plan is, are two completely different things. Now get this. If we knew all God's plans, it would probably blow our tiny minds anyway. And it's really important to remember, we don't need to know all his plans to get on with the things that he's called us into. But we do know God's mission statement. It's written plainly in the end of Matthew's gospel. Jesus said, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Go and make disciples. Go is an irregular verb. It's a doing word. It literally means moving from one place to another. And we cannot do this by just sitting here in our chairs. So it means living out Jesus wherever we are, every day. But that's not the whole picture. We also have to teach, nurture, and look after those that have become followers of Jesus too. And we mustn't forget that. It's a balance between outward focused and inward looking. And we need to do both in equal measures. Numerical growth and spiritual growth are equally both important, and they must go hand in hand. A church that just goes after numerical growth will have something severely lacking. Agree? And a church that just concentrates on our own internal spiritual growth, even though that might be good for you and me, also has something lacking. Agree? So we have to do both, being outward focused, but inward looking. And both are really important. So it starts with a really small seed. The second thing that I understand about mustard, and I didn't know this, is that apparently it spreads like wildfire. It's one of those plants that grows and spreads. And before you know it, there are masses of plants. You see, we just don't know how God is going to use you and the effect that you are going to have. Look at the early Christians in Acts. They shared their faith and people were being added daily to the church. And we're not talking ones and twos. We're talking thousands. We had a scripture from Isaiah last week that said that God's ways and thoughts are higher than ours. And a little further on in the same passage, God goes on to say this. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. And get this. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to. And it will prosper wherever I send it. And God's word in this context actually means his will or his plan. God is effective in all the things he's involved in. No surprise there. But he uses the likes of you and me to exercise and carry out that plan. So we too will be effective as we follow the Holy Spirit's leading and direction, using the gifts that God has given us. We simply do not know the entire effect of our individual and collective church mission as we faithfully serve in whatever area God has called us in. So that's the second thing, it spreads. And the third thing is this. It has a lasting effect. Whatever we say or do can have a massive impact, and not always necessarily for the good. Depends what we say. Gavin Calver, CEO of the Evangelical Alliance, described in his book Unleashed a time he drove all the way to North Wales to preach at a youth event. He was told that there would be hundreds of kids there, and they had hired a huge stage and venue. In reality, only 19 youngsters turned up, and Gavin said he preached the worst gospel message ever, being in a bad mood as he talked, getting home in the early hours of the morning, only to find his ministerial gift for that event was a £5 book token. And that didn't add to his sense of a job well done. Let me read from his words how the story finishes. He says, 10 years later, I was preaching in the north of England. After one event, a guy in his mid-20s came up to me and started describing the disastrous youth event. I wondered how he knew about it when he suddenly said, I gave my life to Jesus that night. Frankly, I was flabbergasted. How was that even possible with how that evening had gone? He then continued to tell me that he was now a Christian youth worker who had recently done an outreach event on a local estate, and 32 young lads had given their lives to Jesus. As I drove home that night, I was utterly overjoyed and thanked the Lord that sometimes, even when we are inadequate, you only have to impact one Samaritan woman to reach a village. Our God is all powerful. Nothing is beyond him. We may never know how God multiplies the results of our faithful service, but he turns seeds into trees and ensure they're equipped to support all who need to find shelter and shade under them. It all started with one man, Jesus. He chose 12 close friends who shared their faith in him. Today, the Christian faith spans the globe, and there are nearly 2.4 billion people who've been affected by Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection. 2.4 billion. But we still have a way to go. And as we know, Jesus also uses mustard seed to describe faith. He said that faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. Now, if we think about that for a second, it should really encourage us. Simply putting what faith I have in God means that I can do anything through him working within me. God can make anything happen. Do you believe that this morning? God can make anything happen. Do you believe that this morning? I'm going to try once more. God can make anything happen. Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
That's what I wanted to hear. We just need to trust in him. We need to, and if I choose to put my faith in him, it makes a huge difference to the outcome. Max Lucado is quoted as saying, God never said that the journey would be easy, but he did say that the arrival would be worthwhile. And it's in those trying times that our faith is really tested. The further our roots go down, the more we can withstand the shaking. In other words, the more we get to know God and his ways helps when things get tough. Heaven is our ultimate goal, and we need to try and take as many with us as possible. Amen? So what about the other little parable? Well, it's got a very similar message to the one we've just looked at. Yeast works through all the dough. It has a ripple effect, as already mentioned. A simple word moving outwards can have an effect on many more than just the initial hearers. And as I was thinking about yeast, obviously what came to mind was the process of bread making. And you know, bread making is a little like our lives. Firstly, there's a lot of kneading going on. The dough has to be worked on. Pounding, pulling, and folding, followed by more pounding, pulling, and folding. If you need to take your anger out on something, do it to a piece of dough. And I guarantee you, you will have marvellous bread. Our lives too need working on. Remember, God showing Jeremiah the potter? He made a jar, which did not turn out as he expected. So he crushed it back into a lump of clay, and he started over again. We too need to allow God to work and rework us into the vessel he wants us to be. We may well be pounded and pulled, sometimes having no clue why we find our current situation is such a mess. And many of those messes are our own making. But we have to trust that God knows what he's doing, and he will bring us through to the other side, to better things. Hallelujah. So having spent some time kneading this dough, what's the next stage? Well, the next stage is proving. The dough has to be left for the yeast to do its work. It's now a waiting game. And I think you will agree that none of us like waiting. We live in a culture that wants everything now. From responses to emails to buy now, pay later schemes. It seems we just cannot wait for anything anymore. But what does the Bible say? Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. From James chapter 1. The word perseverance here comes from a Greek word, hapomone. And it means a remaining behind or a patient enduring. We need to allow God to finish what he has started. How many people start the race with God only to pull up short before they get to the finish line? How sad. Here's how the message puts that verse. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colours. So don't try and get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Now there's a challenge, huh? Don't try and get out of anything prematurely. Just let it do its work. And King David testifies to God's faithfulness in Psalm 40. What did he say? I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. You know, what was true for David is also true for us too. How many of us can testify to God working in our lives when we were in the mud and the mire? It's true, isn't it? I know I can. And the God of David, of course, is the same loving God who is simply just amazing. Isn't he? When you look at your life and you see what God has brought you through and you see the blessings that he's poured out upon you, even when times were tough, isn't God an amazing God? And at times we need to remember that because it's easy to forget. But God is just simply amazing. So what happens to the bread as the yeast works? It rises, it gets bigger, and it expands. what happens to us when we allow God to work in our lives? We rise. We get bigger and bolder in our witness for Him and expand into the things He has for us. Hallelujah. Yep, I'm going again, Sheila. Can't help it, sorry. That's what you got. But it's true, isn't it? As we allow God to work in our lives, He rises us. He expands us into the things that He wants for us. He makes us bigger and bolder. And we all need a bit of that in our lives. But what about bread without yeast? It's flat and often heavy. And life without God is exactly the same. There's just something missing. And no amount of proving, no amount of waiting is going to make the situation any better if God is not in it. And that's a true fact. If God isn't at the center of everything you're doing, if God is not at the center of the situation, you can wait for 20 years, but the situation will not be resolved. Or not in the way that God wants it resolved. So the yeast having done its work, the dough is now ready for the final stage. Baking. The process of turning dough into crusty, wonderful smelling bread. It's got to be cooked. And we need the fire of the Holy Spirit inside us to power and equip us for all the things God has for us to do. Do you know, you cannot eat dough. Anybody tried? No, I'm not surprised, other than Reese. It's not nice, is it? Dough? It needs finishing off. And we need to feast on Jesus. What did he say in John chapter 6? I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. You know, bread is considered to be a staple food, isn't it, in many countries around the world. A food staple is defined as a food that makes up the dominant part of a population's diet. Food staples are eaten regularly, even daily, and supply a major proportion of a person's energy and nutritional needs. How much then do we need to make Jesus our food staple? Connecting and checking in with him every day is vital to our nutritional needs. And it's the only way we can grow in this area. You see, we may start small, but God has big plans for us. Do you agree with that? We may start small, but God has big plans for us. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
And it doesn't matter how old you are. God still has big plans for you and me. Hallelujah. Because it doesn't stop until we stop breathing. And you know, even though we don't see or understand the bigger picture, we just need to simply trust in him to show us the way ahead. Knowing that he will bless us as we remain faithful to his calling. Amen. Do you know, I got excited as I was preparing for this morning. And I hadn't got a clue when I first looked at these three verses. I thought, Lord, what am I going to do with those? You can't even give me a decent passage to speak from. I got three verses. And I've talked for 25 minutes. But it's good, isn't it? It doesn't matter. God's word. It can be just a single phrase. And that's the beauty of what God does, isn't it? We can just take couple of words and God speaks to us through it. And I was excited, not as I was writing, but when I read it back, of what actually God had shown me through three little verses. It's great. And I pray that God will have given you something this morning to take away. Go away and read those three verses again. Meditate on them. Think about them. And I know God is going to do some great things for us here at Desborough Baptist Church. And I'm going to keep saying that because I know it's true. I hope you're excited, because I know I am. We're going to finish with a great hymn, and I picked it for the last verse. And it says this: "Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey." Let's stand and sing together. Thank you, Brian. let's just finish this morning just by saying the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.